God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And Tom Moore, the partner that is usually here or that is sometimes here, is off tonight and attending a gospel gathering, and we wish him well there. And Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ, is sitting here in his stead, and very aptly so, and we want to welcome you to our program this morning or this evening. We're broadcasting from KATX 97.7 FM in Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM in Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, Texas, KWBY 98.5 FM in Stephenville, and this is one of our new stations here, and we want to welcome our listening audience, our local audience here in Stephenville. And also, we are broadcasting from KDAV AM 1590 in Lubbock, Texas, and KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview, Texas, another couple of new stations, and we want to welcome you as well. We're broadcasting also on the internet on the gospelradionetwork.org. And this program will be rebroadcast on the gospelradionetwork.org at 7 a.m. on Tuesday at that website. Now, our motto has always been on this show, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. And this has been one of our focuses on this program. We want you to hear what the Bible has to say about subjects. This is a live call-in talk show. It is a program here that you can pick up the phone and make a comment or call us with a question. We've got a very simple number that we'll pick up the tab. It's a toll-free number. It is 1-855 and then spell it out, Q-A-Bible. 1-855 Q as in questions, answers as in A is in answers, and B-I-B-L-E, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would love to hear your questions and your comments on whatever subject that we're considering tonight. You can always email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and that will go to my personal email and also Tom's personal email. I know we've got a couple of in backlog. We will get to those, and we will answer your questions. You send us the question, we'll give you a Bible answer. If you are on the web on the gospelradionetwork.org or the harrisonmoore.org, you will find that you can go to a chat room there at the gospelradionetwork.org, and in that chat room you can type in your question or your comment, and we will try to get through that today. Of course, we're working a little short-handed here in the studio tonight because Tom's not here, so we may or may not get to answering them in script fashion, but we'll try to answer them as we go. And we want to also, while we're beginning our introduction here, to welcome our additional sponsors. We have several, and we need to make mention of these. We really appreciate the sponsorship. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. And then we have the Windmill Church of Christ that is located in Weatherford, Texas, just outside of town on 4839 10 Top Road. And also one of our sponsors as well is the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Now, I think we've got a very good program for you tonight. We're going to kind of change gears as to where we've been going for the last two or three weeks. There were some urgent things that needed to be tended to, and we needed to know what the Bible had to say about this Planned Parenthood. So we had two or three lessons on this Planned Parenthood and what God had to say about it, and the fact that men were not saying what God had to say about it. They were just having an opinion one way or the other. Well, tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the great word pictures of the Bible. This is the account of the rich young ruler, and it is a word picture that is given to us and illustrated by Jesus about the struggles of mankind, and the struggles in particular of this young man. This is a story of love. This is a story of trust. And it is one that we will be able to see ourselves in, just like this rich young ruler. And what we don't want you to overlook is this one fact, and Frank and I have been talking about this before the lesson. What we're going to see here is this young man, just as well as many people, when they run into some wrong situations of life, the first thing we try to do is justify our position in the wrong way. We talked about this, Frank. It's easy to have something thrown at you and try to justify your position to keep from having to change your mind.
And he is an example for us of an individual who, in seeking, when he finds that for which he was seeking, it's not what he wanted. And this is where his problem begins. He is a good individual. We have three accounts that Jesus gives, or the Bible gives, of this man. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, Matthew gives us the story. Matthew chapter 19. And Luke, in the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 23, Mark's account refers to him and tells us that he was a rich man. Matthew tells us that he was young. And Luke tells us that he was a ruler. But for our lesson, we want to begin by reading the account given in Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And as he was going forth into the way, there ran one to him and kneel to him and ask him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, even God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother." And he said unto him, "Teacher, all these things have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell whatsoever you have, and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me."
And he was sad at that saying.
And at that point, the account tells us that he went away sorrowful,
mm-hmm,
because he had much possessions.
Well, now, this is one of the most disappointing stories found in the New Testament. And here's why, Frank. This thing is rich in possibilities. This young man had every opportunity to be a tremendous example for good to mankind throughout the Christian age. And the story begins very hopefully. This young man is going to the right source. He's finding the correct standard, and he approaches Jesus humbly and with reverence, and then he leaves brokenhearted. And so what we want to do is we want to take this tonight, and we want to find, how can something start out so grand and end up in such a mess? And it is all about human nature and a story of love. I want us to study this young man. And Frank, we need to ask three questions concerning this young man, this rich young ruler. First of all, we want to ask, who was he? And secondly, we want to ask, why did he come to Christ? And then thirdly, we want to know just exactly what did Christ tell him? What did Christ say? Now, as you and I were talking about this earlier, we had discussed the point that a lot of people read this and they come to the conclusion that God just wanted him to give up his money and that's the end of the story. But that's not even the tip of the iceberg here. That is part of it, but that is not what we're after tonight. And so we're going to ask these three questions, break it down, and then see where we stand here. And so when we look at this from a worldly viewpoint, Frank, who was this man? From a worldly standpoint, from physical, material standpoint, who was this guy?
Okay, he was a ruler. Now, it doesn't tell us the area of what he ruled, but he was a ruler. He was a man with authority.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the individual that's described for us, there's so many great things about him. He was a young man. He had his whole life before him.
Right.
Look at what he's going to be able to accomplish, what he's going to be able to do. He is a ruler. He has authority. He has a certain amount of power. He is in a place where there's no telling the amount of good that he can do. And thirdly, he had the wherewithal to do it with.
He was rich.
He was rich.
There's no doubt about it. He's kind of like somebody in politics today that doesn't mind telling it, you know, that he's rich. And this was a rich young ruler. And you know something about money? Money talks. Mm-hmm. And most people like it when the money talks for them. But this guy was, you know, from a worldly standpoint, he was rich, and a lot of people appreciate that. And he must have been the envy of every materialistic-minded person in that community.
They would have looked up to him. They would have looked up to look at what he has, look at the power that is his. He was an individual that, insofar as the people were concerned,
mm-hmm.
He has everything.
Right.
But he himself knew there was something that he needed, or he wouldn't have come to Jesus with the question that he had.
Absolutely. So that's from the standpoint of the world, that's who he was. But now from the standpoint of heaven, from the spiritual standpoint, we have here an individual who knew the Lord from a very, very early age. He must have had some tremendously good religious parents and came from a religious home, because after Jesus told him what he needed to do, told him about the commandments, he was honorably, he was morally good, and then he asked, what lack I yet? What else do I need to do? And you will find that over there in the account in Matthew. But here is something that really ought to catch your attention. He was a very humble individual, and he kneeled at Jesus' feet. When did you ever see a rich man kneel at Jesus' feet?
And he is introduced just ahead of that. He ran
mm-hmm.
to Jesus. The great desire that he had to get into the presence of Jesus and then kneel
right.
in the presence of Jesus.
And basically, he was not afraid to confess Jesus with his actions. And he certainly wasn't worried about the physical thinking of other people as some other people were. He was pleading for his soul. He was earnest in his quest for wisdom. And the question that he asked, what lack I yet, or what must I do to be saved? The question came from a very, very hungry soul. He wanted to know what to do.
He's like the individual that Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
This man knew something about Jesus. He knew that he had the answers, and he came seeking the thing that he felt that he needed the most.
And he didn't know what it was.
Didn't know what it was, nor exactly how to get there.
Yes. So he realized that he was lacking in something. And we reiterate what we're looking at here. He was young, he was wealthy, he was healthy, he was influential, he was clean, he was humble, he was earnest, he was religious. And Frank, you would think this is exactly the way that we would want every one of our children to be. Every one of them. And he was good enough, according to the world, to be saved. But a good moral individual and a good moral life is just not enough. And why do we know that?
Because we have other examples, not only of this man, but later in the book of Acts, we read the story of a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man. And Cornelius was a religious man. Everything that we read about Cornelius from the viewpoint of the world was an outstanding individual, yet he knew that he had to hear from Peter words whereby he might be saved.
Right.
The way that the world looks at things is not always the way that God sees them.
Well, this should give us a pretty good idea of who this young man was. He was a very, very good man. But the second question is this: why did he come to Christ?
And again, we get an answer a little bit later, because there's salvation in no other name.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to Jesus. How much he knows about Jesus, we're not told. But he knows enough to refer to him as not just teacher, but he put a little something with this. He referred to him as good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he acknowledges the fact that you know what I need in order to have eternal life.
Right.
So all of this shows us that he knows that Jesus has the answer.
Well, when he comes to Christ, he's seeking that answer to his question. And the question is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? There is absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind here that he wanted to go to heaven. He realized the value of heaven. He also realized the devastation of hell. And he sets us a great example here, Frank, today.
Today. And, you know, as Jesus, when he was speaking to the disciples on the night of his betrayal, he said, I am the way, mm-hmm. the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This young man, in seeking eternal life, knows that Jesus has the answer, and he's seeking that answer when he comes and asks the question of Jesus. And so he's going to the place, he's going to the right place, and he's going to get the right answer.
Right.
But he's not going to have the right response.
Well, we today ought to do just exactly what this young man is doing. We ought to humbly submit ourselves and ask the question, what shall we do? Because the answer is found in the Bible. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And that answer is going to be found right there in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And so the answer is found in the Bible. And all we've got to do is ask the question and get the answer. But many people today, Frank, lack this quality of humility to ask the question of Jesus for fear of the answer that they might receive.
Okay, because they're afraid that the answer they will receive will be, as in the case of this young man, something that they didn't want to do. You know, when we look at the individual and his coming to Jesus and the question that he realizes the value of what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, We talked about this a little bit earlier. We need to realize that the answer that God gives is because God wants for him eternal life.
Right.
You know, Jesus didn't tell him to go and sell what you have just to tell him to go and get rid of it. There's a purpose.
Right.
This man wants eternal life. This is what God wants for us. And I think that, as we talked a little bit earlier, so many times today people get the wrong idea about what it is that God wants for us and why he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
What God wants for us is for us to have the eternal life that this young man asked for.
Absolutely. And so some people may fear the answer that we receive. You know, the way to God is exclusive. It's not a broad way. It's a narrow way. Matthew 7, verse 13. And Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The way that the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This is an exclusive way. And for fear of some sacrifice, other people don't want to hear the answer. They're afraid they're going to have to give something up in their life. Well, maybe they might have to stop drinking, or maybe they might have to stop partying or gambling or playing the lottery, or they might have to sacrifice something in their life that they are not willing to give up. And so a lot of people don't want to know the answer. They want to hide from this answer. And we look at this young man, Frank, tonight, and we say to ourselves, you know, if I met Jesus face to face, just like this man did, well, I would have had more faith. And we need to put that in the back of our mind for just a moment and hold on to that kind of a thought as we get into the second part of this, and we find out that third question, what did Christ say to him? But I want to take a little break right here and remind everybody that this is a live call-in talk show. We welcome your comments. We welcome your questions. We've kind of got the table set tonight for what's going to happen and why was this man asked to give up his money. And we're going to find out the answer to all that in just a moment. But the number to call, if you want to get in on the conversation, you can always go to the chat box on the website and get in there. But the number to call, if you'd like to talk to us, and we would love for you to, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we said we had three questions, and here's the third one. What did Christ say to him? Now, for those of you who have your Bible, I would ask that you take that Bible and look at Mark chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse number 21, and I want you to look at it very carefully, what Jesus told him. I'll be reading out of the King James Version. It says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, he loved him, and he said unto him, One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me." Now, Frank, this is a twofold answer. This was a test of the young man's faith. Now, he gets the answer that he was asking for, but he does not like the answer. He's not going to like that answer at all.
Okay, the answer that one thing thou lack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that which he, and we'll look at this a little bit more later, but the one thing that he lacked is represented in what Jesus told him to go and do.
Mm-hmm.
There's two parts to what Jesus told him to go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, take your cross and come and follow me. But that's the one thing he lacked.
Right. Now, if you'll notice there in verses 19 and 20, this was a test of the young man's faith. Now, notice 19 and 20. It says here, Jesus told him, he said, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and your mother." And he told him, he told Jesus, "I have observed all these things from my youth." I've done that since I was a youth. And he observed six of these 10 commandments of the law of Moses. Now, Frank, when we look at these things, these six are the ones that pertain to man's dealing with man. And the one commandment that Jesus adds to these also pertains to man's dealing with man. And there in verse number 21, he says he loved him, but the commandment was to go and sell what he had. And what he's telling him here, because he loved him, he told him the truth. And he told him this. He says, you know the commandments. I love you, but you shall not commit adultery anyway. I love you, but you shall not kill anyone. I love you, but you may not steal anything. I love you. That doesn't make any difference. The commandment is still, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. That is the commandment. Jesus wanted him to give something up, physical and material, pleasurable, that was in his way to salvation, for something far more gratifying that was spiritual. And Frank, he wasn't asking him to trade down. He was asking him to trade up.
And you know, the thing that he's telling him here is the reason behind Jesus telling him was because he loved him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somehow or another, we get people get the idea that there are those things that God commands, and it deprives them of something that they want, and they wonder why God would deprive them, why God would say you don't do this or you must do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is, what God wants is for them to go to heaven.
Right.
And this is what Jesus wanted for this young man. He wanted him to have the eternal life that he'd asked about.
And it's amazing that he said, what do I lack? Jesus said, this is what you lack. And basically he's saying, I don't like the answer. As humble and as reverent as he was. And again, let's reiterate this thing. He's not asking him to trade down. He's asking him to trade up for something that is far more valuable than anything that he's got there. You know, John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that gives life. He's asking him to trade something physical for something that is spiritual. He said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing, and the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so we've got something in the way of his salvation, and Jesus is removing it for him, and he's having trouble with it.
Jesus is explaining to him something that he mentions in an earlier place, where he talks about treasures on earth. Well, what's going to happen to treasures on earth?
They're going to burn up.
They're going to burn up. They're going to rust. The thieves are going to get them. But he said, you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You know, he's telling this young man, you know, your treasure is in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you put your treasure in the right place, then you'll have the eternal life that you're looking for.
And we were discussing the Greek word here, treasure, as well. And won't you give us a little explanation of that, Frank?
Okay. The Jews viewed the idea of a treasure not necessarily in monetary value. To the Jew, a treasure was something that he valued highly, whether it had a physical value or not.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been something, place, prestige, whatever, but it becomes his treasure. And so they use the word treasure, meaning that which we value. And what Jesus was telling this man, he valued the wrong thing. The place where he put his value, his treasure, was in the wrong thing.
It was out of priority with what Jesus wanted him to be, and he was going to the right source to find out this the answer to this question. Now, before we advance here just a little bit, let me back up again and give you the telephone number. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would like to hear your comments or your questions on this, because we're going to start making some personal application with this in just a moment. And let me just back up just for a little bit, and let's see where we are. We are looking at the account of the rich young ruler. It's a word picture about struggles. It's a story about love. It's a story about trust. We're looking in the Mark 10 account, verses 17 through 22, and we're asking three questions. Who was this young man? Why did he come to Christ? And what did Christ say? And we looked at him from the standpoint of the world, who he was, a person to be highly admired by the world. We looked at him from the standpoint of heaven, and he was also an individual that could be admired from that standpoint as well. But he realized that he was lacking something, and he asked Jesus, "What lack I yet?" Now, the second question is, why did he come to Christ? Because he knew that this is the only place that he was going to get the real answer. This was the standard of authority for all answers. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he already knew about this evidently. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." Well, this man wanted to go to the Father. He wanted to go to heaven, and there's no way that he's going to get there except through Jesus and what Jesus told him to do. But we also notice that many lack the quality of humility to ask the question of Jesus for fear of some answer that they may receive, or for the fear of some sacrifice that they need to make. And we look at this young man and we say, "Well, you know, I could have done better than he did."
You know, David, today so many times people have a question that's maybe worded a little different, but it's the exact same question this young man had. What must I do to have eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
But they go to so many different places for answers.
Yes.
I sat down one time and tried to make a list of the different answers that man gives to that one question. And it's almost an endless list. But you can ask in the world today, what must I do to have eternal life? And there's no telling what kind of answer you're going to give. But the reason there are so many different answers given is because they're trying to give an answer that pleases the one that asks the question.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, one of the things that we pointed out here in this lesson was this, and it was how spiritually minded this young man was. And in verses 19 and 20, Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery." The question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer is this, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and he said unto them, "Master, all of these I observed from my youth up." And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. Come take up your cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus loved this man so much, and he told him, "You've done well in that you have obeyed the commandments." And he beheld him and he loved him, and he says, "I love you, but you shall not commit adultery anyway. I love you, but you shall not steal. You shall not kill anyone. I love you. That doesn't make any difference. You go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you shall have treasures in heaven." It's all about love. He's trying to get him to understand that the spiritual is far greater than the physical. And this is something that we have trouble with here today on this earth. Something just like this. And you can find yourself in this setting here, trying to justify your position on earth, holding on to that treasure, whatever that treasure happens to be. Now, what if Jesus... And this is a question for the audience out there. What if Jesus asked you to turn in your bank account and help the poor in the way?
When Jesus spoke to him and asked him or told him, "One thing you lack, and here is the answer that the man was seeking," and yet it's not the answer that he wanted. And we see what he did when Jesus told him. You know, it's kind of like earlier Jesus said, "What would a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Mm-hmm.
He's holding this up to them. Here it is. You want eternal life. Here's what you've got. Would you give it up?
Would you trade?
Would you trade? For your soul.
Right. Well, what if Jesus, and let's put this treasure in a different context here.
Another thing we want to put in there is the fact that you read this and made this emphasis. In each instance, Jesus said, I love you, but here's what you've got to do. Right. You know, the world wants to just read that much and stop where it says Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus didn't stop there.
No, he didn't. He's and I think this may be one of the most significant part of the stories. God loves us. And God wants the best for us. All the way back in the Old Testament, he said, all of these commandments are for your own good. It's not so that you can't do something. It's so that you can do something. And we look at this and we overlook the love that Jesus has for this man. And he says, I love you, but you can't commit adultery. I love you, but you still can't steal. I love you, but you still can't go around murdering people. I love you. That doesn't make any difference. That's not the point. Go sell whatsoever you have. It's in your way. It's blocking your way to eternal life because it is your treasure and you're valuing that treasure more than you are the eternal life that I'm offering you.
Jesus is saying to him, I love you, and I want you to have that eternal life that you've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the thing that's between you and eternal life.
Right.
Will you give it up?
Well, here's another question. What if you met Jesus face to face, and Jesus asked you to give up your marriage because it was unscriptural? Now, Frank, you and I both have had people in our office talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And they come to us with the very same question here, basically. What do I need to do with my life so I can go to heaven? Now, here's what I've done, and here's the mess that I've gotten myself in. And you take the scriptures, and you show through the scriptures that you cannot go to heaven in a state of adultery. You're going to have to get out of your adulterous situation. And they'll look at you, and they'll say, well, I know that's what that says, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do it. So they're asking the same question, but they're refusing to give up what they consider to be that treasure. And that treasure that they have, that they hold so dearly, is in the way of their salvation. And the same thing could be said for a bad habit, you know, or an addiction or something like that. It could be anything in this world that gave you the most pleasure. Would you walk away like the rich young ruler being grieved, trying to justify that situation?
And David, you and I both have been there and had those individuals come in and ask the question and say, now here's my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you read, here is what the Lord says. And you've had them go away tearfully.
Yeah.
Go away sorrowful because they, just like this rich young man, had one thing that stood between them and being pleasing unto God, and they couldn't change it or wouldn't change it.
Amen. And now the number to call, if you'd like to get in on this conversation, we'd love to have your questions or your comments, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Interestingly, today I had a talk with a young lady about something very similar to this. She had been employed with this company for some 20 years, and she at this particular time was making $120,000 a year working for this company. And the company came to her, and they said that we're going to offer our customers this great benefit, whatever this benefit happened to be, and we're going to tell them that they are going to receive this benefit, but in actuality, we're not going to give them this benefit, but don't worry about it, they will never know it. And they were asking her to be a part of a fraudulent operation in a big business. And she knew that she couldn't be a part of this. And yet, in the back of her mind, she was trying to justify some things that, and knowing all along that she wasn't going to do it, but in the back of her mind, just like this rich young ruler, she was trying to justify doing, but knowing that she wasn't ever going to do it. And then she went and talked to her coworkers, and she told the coworkers, and they said, well, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm going to have to resign. And they said, well, we can't resign. We don't have any insurance. We can't resign. We will lose our salary. We will lose everything that we have. We can't resign. And so they chose to stay in a fraudulent business, knowing that it was wrong, and justifying it by saying, you know what, we've got to be able to make a living. We've got to be able to have insurance. We've got to be able to have all, even though it was as wrong could be, it was something that was going to stand in their way of salvation. They justified themselves into staying right there. Now, the woman that I talked to, she knew that she couldn't be there. She knew that she could not be a part of that. Now, here is where the love and the trust in this story comes in. Had this young man had the true love in his heart for Jesus, the way that Jesus said you ought to in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, then he would have done the right thing. But he didn't have that love. And he didn't have the true trust there either. Because he's thinking, now, if I give all my money away and I take up a cross, how in the world am I going to ever make a living? How in the world am I going to eat? How in the world am I going to feed my family? How in the world am I going to be the person that I had with all of this prestige? And we have parallels to that, like this young lady that I talked to today. And I am amazed at the fact that she had the love and the trust for Jesus. And by the way, she's being very well tended to right now. She's got customers. She's got a job. She's got things. It wasn't quite as rosy as it was before, but she has everything that she needs. And God bless her for her decision. Now, those individuals that justified what they were doing, Frank, they're going to have to live with that. And what they're going to do is exactly what this young man did. He walked away grieved because he had many possessions.
But you can look at that just a little bit farther. If in giving that up, she had not gotten another job like that, when the time comes, when you look at the real value of things in eternity, what she had is far, far greater and far greater than what she gave up.
She still traded up, wouldn't she?
She still traded up.
Always, always, always still traded up.
You know, we can see that sometimes in this life. I told you about the individual that was offered a job, and when he came and talked to me, and he's like you said, he knew he couldn't take it.
Yeah,
he knew the job was not something that a Christian would do, and he was out of a job at the time, but he in a very short time got offered a position, got offered a job in a school system, stayed there for a number of years, and when he retired as Teacher of the Year. Well, you know, that's a feel good ending, but the even better feel good ending would be what it meant in the sight of God,
right,
to turn down that which we know is wrong and take the blessings that God gives.
Right. Well, when we look at this great lesson that Jesus teaches us here, it is applicable to every single person that ever lived. And the Bible teaches here, Frank, and warns us against the love of money and the love of possessions, but people still fall into that snare, just like those ladies trying to justify, well, if I quit this job, I won't have insurance. If I quit this job, I won't have a monthly income. If I quit this job. And they never, ever considered the snare that was being attached to that was going to snare them for eternal life in a wrong way. The warning in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 is, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You see, that is where our heart must be. There in the living God, trusting God and knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. We've got to have the trust.
You know, when He calls us to come and take up your cross and follow Me, that's a full lifetime commitment.
Yes, it is.
It's not just a Sunday morning thing. I think we can look at the statement again here. When Jesus asks us, you know, when one wants to become a Christian, wants to become a child of God, are you ready to put Christ first, put the church first, or do you still want to do this on Sunday and go there? You know, how are we going to respond when Jesus gives us the answer? You know, so many times we kind of like this man. They go away sorrowful.
Yes.
We wanted it, but we don't want the answer that Jesus gives.
Well, see, in order for him to actually be receptive of the answer, he's going to have to make a great change in his life. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22, we read this, that you put off concerning your former manner of life, the old man, that was his fleshly desires, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. These have to do with spiritual things, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, this is exactly what these individuals at this company that are doing fraudulent things are going to have to come to grips with. They're going to have to put off that old man, and they're going to have to put on the new man. And that's the only way that they're ever going to be able to ascertain the salvation that they're going to be able to find in Christ Jesus, who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that the second part, the twofold answer, first of all, you got to let go your treasure, whatever your treasure is standing in front of you. Now, the second part, he says in verse number 21 of Mark chapter 10, and for those of you who have your Bibles there, notice he says, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatsoever you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. That's part number one. Part number two is this, come, take up your cross, and follow me. The second part, taking up the cross and following me. As you said just a moment ago, that is a lifetime commitment. But what we have here is being a cross bearer. An individual has got to put on that new man, but it is a daily affair. It's not just on Sunday. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, we see it's a daily affair, don't we?
He adds that word, take up your cross daily.
Yes.
And come and follow me.
Every single day. And if we can't do that, then we can't be a cross bearer. As a matter of fact, he says there, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let him deny himself. That means that there is a treasure, something pleasurable, something that you want more than probably anything in this world, not in the spiritual realm, but in this physical world, that you do not want to deny yourself, whether it be a salary, whether it be health insurance, where whatever it happens to be, you do not want to deny yourself of that and actually force yourself to take up that cross daily and follow him.
Okay. You know, Jesus, in the last chapter of the book of John, there's an occasion there that we look at sometimes for two or three different reasons, but just to break it down very quickly, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love me more than these? Well, we can talk some other time about what he means by these, but he asks him that question, and then he tells him, if you do, then here's what you've got to do. You feed my sheep. Do you love me more than these? If you do, feed my sheep. And then he goes just a step farther. Do you love me more than these? And then he tells Peter how he's going to die. You know, at one time you went where you wanted to, but the time's going to come.
Right.
Signifying, John says signify. But, you know, do you love me more than these? And if you do, then feed my sheep and follow me.
And even unto death. And we're going to get to that here in just a moment, especially when we go to looking at that book of Revelation. Now, after stating that in Luke chapter 14, after stating that no one could love even his family more than him, he says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Frank, when we look at this, it means that we need to be able to give up any and everything that stands in the way, that stands before Christ, in order to be saved. We talked about 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "Where God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." Well, we've got to come to a knowledge of the truth before we can be saved. And when we look at this knowledge of the truth, when we look at the words of Jesus, we've got to understand that there are things that we must deny ourselves of. There are things that we must give up. There are some things that we may have to sacrifice, but we're never asked to trade down. We're always being asked to trade up for something more valuable, more spiritual, more eternal, worthy forever and ever. Now, glorifying God in the church is a choice that we're going to have to make. And you cannot glorify God in the church if the treasure is in your way. If it's your health insurance, if it's your job, if it's your fraudulent assignment in a job, you cannot allow those things to be your treasure in order for you to be able to come out on top materialistically and physically in this life, because you're going to lose in the long end. You're going to lose it all in the long end. There are many people, Frank, who would love to wear the crown of life in eternity, but they're not willing to bear the cross in this life alone.
And Jesus said, if you don't, you cannot be my disciple.
Mm-hmm.
This is something, again, you're trading up. You're dying in order to live.
Right.
You know, the dying, and we think of death, but when we think of it in the way that Jesus gives it, we may lose a temporal life for an eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trade, but it's a trade up.
It's always a trade up. Now, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, there's a statement there that says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto you a crown of life." And we've talked about this before. That does not mean that you're faithful sitting in the pew in the church building until you flop over dead one day right there in the bench. It means being faithful unto God in the face of death. When death threatens, when you are threatened to lose your life and your livelihood, like that young woman did over here that had to quit her job, when you're faced there, you do not back down. You always face up and say, "Yes, Christ is my trust, and Christ is my love, and Christ is the one I'm going to put my trust in, and unto death I'm going to be there." Because there's a necessity of this cross bearing before we can have the privilege of the crown wearing. And a lot of people don't get that. They want the crown. They say, well, God loves me, and it's just not going to make any difference what I do, when specifically he says right here, "I love you, but you shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. And one thing you lack, I love you, but you're going to have to give up your treasure because it's in the way of your salvation. I love you, I wouldn't even ask you to do it."
You know, we like to read the statement that Paul made and begin in the middle. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." But we forget to read the fact that because I have fought a good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith.
In the face of danger, in the face of death, always, always, always. Well, we look at this good young man. And we look at him again. He was a good young man. He was a religious one, young man, and he went away sorrowfully. He went away grieved. And Frank, he didn't give up one thin dime. And he went away grieved. He didn't lose his possessions. He went away grieved because he failed to become a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He went away grieved because he rejected salvation. And I go back to that story that that young lady told me today. How many of those employees in that office kept justifying their position in life? I don't have insurance. I don't have a paycheck. And if I quit, I don't know what I'm going to do. And at the end of this whole life, they're going to go away grieved, and they're going to get to keep every penny that they earned, and they're going to keep every iota of that insurance policy, and it will do them absolutely no good at all.
And you know, the other thing, this young man knew he was rejecting eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he'd asked for. He got the answer, and he knew that he was rejecting it.
Absolutely. We got a comment on the chat box here. It says, don't you think that this subject is what Jesus was referring to when he made the statement that few will find the narrow gate? And he's referring to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few that there be that find it. It is few in this world that are willing to give up that treasure, whatever that treasure may be. There are few in this world that are willing to give it up for Jesus the Christ, because they can't see beyond the physical. They just can't see beyond the physical. Now, this young man, as good as he was, he wasn't willing to pay the price. He wasn't willing to bear the cross. He wasn't willing to suffer for Christ. And he knew that he was rejecting this eternal life, and that's what made him sorry. But Frank, today, many people will say, Jesus Christ is going to love you any old way you are. Now, this young man didn't even go there. Jesus Christ demanded repentance of this young man. He demanded a change in his way, and he demands a change in all of our way. Jesus Christ is not obligated to take us any old way we are. We are obligated to be obedient unto him in order to be taken. Now, a lot of people pray, Jesus, if you love me, just take me as I am. But then Jesus would say in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what he's doing is he's putting the ball right back in our court.
You know, so many people want to make the invitation to the Lord. Lord, you come unto me and enter into my life.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' invitation was, you come unto me, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Absolutely. And we want to leave you with this thought tonight. We got about a minute left here. If you are not a Christian today, if you have not been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, then you are in the same position as the rich young ruler. One thing you lack, and it is an obedience to the gospel. To hear and to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and to live a faithful life unto death. Because that very same Christ who invited this rich young ruler to follow him, tonight he invites you. The rich young ruler threw away his opportunity, but we can't afford to throw away our opportunity. Frank, you got the last word, and we're going to sign off.
Okay, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord.
thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station.